This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Several generations that call a property home, it's bound to have something left behind after one of the generations passes. Something, at least one. Homes are things, they're places, really, that people get very attached to. It almost becomes an extension of them in many ways, and rightfully so. It's our nest. It's our place of comfort. It's our safe place. At least that's what it's intended to be. And when it is, it can be a very, very powerful thing. Not all homes start out haunted. Sometimes they become haunted after many people have made that attachment with the location. An attachment that sometimes transcends life and death. Keeping that person in their safe spot, even after their passing. Generations after may discover previous generations are not as far away as they may think. At least that's what happens in our next story. Take a listen. I've always had a sensitivity to the paranormal energy. Sometimes I get premonitions. My story begins in our ancestral house. It was a pre-war house and housed three generations before mine. It's in the mountains, in a place that has a very eerie feeling to it. Possibly because during World War II, the Japanese bombed our city. They called it carpet bombing because everything was hit, except the cathedral. I've always had a sense that someone was in the house with us. Sometimes there was more than one spirit in there with us. It had wooden floors, and every time I was in the basement, I would hear what sounded like furniture moving around, even when I was alone. I also heard footsteps late at night. Even creepier is I heard footsteps right in front of me, and our cat used to stare at nothing, right where I would hear the footsteps in the living room. Sometimes on Sunday nights, I'd be ironing my school uniform for the week. I'd hear my mom call my name. I'd walk upstairs to ask her why she called me. And she'd say that she didn't, every single time. Perplexed, I'd ask my sisters why they called me, and again, they would say they did not. I never thought anything of it until one night I walked to the kitchen where they all were. I asked why they called me. They looked at me strangely and said they did not. Walking away, I heard my sister say, "Someone is always calling her name." I've always been a night owl, and every time I stepped out into the backyard at night, I'd get a sinking feeling in my gut. I'd feel a group of spirits watch me as I hang clothes out to dry. When I'd walk up the stairs, I'd feel a presence make itself known the moment I hit the fifth step of our staircase. And in our kitchen, I'd feel a man standing by our counter, his arms crossed. I'd always feel someone watching me while I washed the dishes when I was younger. When I looked behind me, the dining chair always seemed to be a little off angle, like someone had been sitting in it, pointing in my direction. When I got to college, my mom finally gave me my own room. The first night I slept there, I felt something stand next to my bed. The energy was so overbearing that I stood up angry, turned the lights on, and said, "Get out of my room. You are not welcome here. This is mine." I later realized that my bedroom window was a passageway for spirits. They'd usually come in through my window, walk out of the house through the kitchen window. I validated that hearing my cousin tell me a story of a little girl walking out of my room towards the kitchen window and then just disappearing. One night as I was falling asleep, I felt a shadow on top of me. As I lay on my bed, the bed started to shake, and my first thought was, "Am I on a train?" I felt a set of hands on my shoulders shaking me, and I could read the shadow's mind, it seemed. It said, "Get out of your body. I want to ride it." I looked around, and I saw my stereo light on. I tried screaming for my mom, but no sound came out. All I could do was pray the rosary until I could move again. That night I stayed beside my mom, crying and telling her that someone had just attacked me. The following night I felt a presence come into my room. I felt a hand, its fingers wrap around my arm. Immediately I felt my energy start to drain from my body. I was so exhausted that all I did was mentally tell the spirit, "Get what energy you need and leave." I felt the fingers unclasp from my arm after, and it left through my window. A few months later, I positioned my bed parallel to my window, trying to maximize my room space. Not long after I did, strange things began to happen. The month my father died, I was sleeping in my bed, and I felt a spirit go through the window, instead of just walking out my door to the kitchen like I knew they always would. It felt as if my soul would follow the spirit, almost like it was magnetized to it. It felt like it was leaving my body. It took all the energy I had to pull my soul back to my body. It's an unexplainable feeling. My fear was that if I left my body, someone else would take over. This happened a couple of times, and every time I woke up, I'd be more tired than before I fell asleep. One night as I was falling asleep, I heard what sounded like a flock of flamingos by the bay. I started tuning into the noise and realized it was a crowd talking, and it seemed like it was coming from my bedroom floor. I was trying to break out of that sleep spell, and right before I did, I heard a clear voice yell into my ear, "Help." The following day, I broke up my candles and oils, took up my stones, and performed a cleansing ritual in my room. I cast a protection layer around it and swore that I would fight whatever this was. The experience died down since then. My niece inherited my room when I left home. When I went home, I would sometimes feel a spirit standing by her door. It seemed to be watching her. I spoke to the spirit mentally and said, "Don't try anything, I'm stronger than you." I still lit candles on every turn of our steps and all Hallows' Eve, just in case family members want to visit us, while the veil between the worlds was up. We tore down our house last year so we could rebuild it. But before we did, I went home and said goodbye to the house that sheltered four generations of our family. The builders performed a ritual, an offering of sorts to the spirits of the house, asking for permission to tear it down and build anew, and asking for a safe build. I've asked my sister to let me in the house before any fixtures and decorations are put up so I can clean the space. We intend to have a priest bless every nook and cranny in hopes of a quieter home.
First car on the open road.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.